How is everyone? Is everyone good? I'm going to put this over here because I'm going to walk around a little bit. And if I get really excited, I'm not sorry because I'm really excited about what we're going to talk about. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. Quick intro. As Chrissy said, I'm Chris. I've been a part of XS for 9 years now. So coming in, yeah, end of year seven, been here ever since. I kind of don't know what else people do on Friday nights anymore. This is it. And I love it. I'm helping head up all the worship stuff with the team, which is super exciting. It's really cool to be able to help lead you guys in worship and to bring you guys into that place with God, and just humbling yourselves before Him is really cool. And it's a great privilege to be able to do that. A little bit more about me. I should introduce myself, I couldn't resist saying this. I just got engaged, which is really exciting. To my beautiful fiance, Caitlin. So if you haven't gone and talked to Caitlin before, you should. She's wonderful. So go find her after the service, have a chat. I just couldn't resist. I'm really excited. So it was really cool. I'm studying at uni. I'm doing a Bachelor of Biomedical Engineering and a Master's of Biomedical Engineering. So you guys probably just zoned out completely just then. I'm on a placement at the moment doing work with a thing called a cyclotron, which sounds like a Decepticon Transformers. There'll be more about Transformers later, to be honest. And it's really cool. And I'm off to Sydney in a few weeks to do an internship for 3 months. With a company they picked people out of all of Australia and New Zealand, and so I'm heading over there to do some work, which is going to be really cool. That's a little bit about me. If you want to chat more, feel free. But, all right, so we've been talking about true friendship, and Shane spoke a few weeks ago, and he mentioned that our friends now are the biggest influences in our lives, right? Do you guys agree with that? Do you think that they're the biggest influence? I'm going to ask a lot of questions, so it helps if you guys are like, yeah, or, you know, hands up and yeah, awesome. Good. So, you guys have friends, right? I'm assuming all of you have friends. I'm happy to be your friend if you feel like you don't have one. But, so going off the fact that we've just all agreed that our friends are our biggest influences, and we all have friends, that means that you guys are the biggest influence in someone's life. That is not a small responsibility. That is huge. You have the opportunity to speak wisdom and to speak life into your friendships through the fact that you are going to be the biggest influence in someone else's life, right? And so a really good way to do that is through trust and through understanding. And that's kind of something that we're going to be talking about tonight, just through being vulnerable with each other and developing that trust and breaking down kind of like surface image and stuff like that. So it's going to be really cool. I'm really excited. But yes, there's going to be some questions. There's going to be some stuff. So you're going to need to just be ready, but just relax because it's going to be fun. I'm really excited. So hands up if you've seen Transformers, the first one. Yes. Awesome. 2, 3, and 4 don't exist. They never happened. Number 1 was the best. Hands up, did anyone see it in the cinema? In the cinema when it first came out, a few of us. Man, I remember I was about 12 years old when I first saw Transformers. I was sitting there and just like absorbing it. I'm like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my whole life. And there's that moment where Optimus Prime, he like comes in and he's like, I am Optimus Prime. And my little 12-year-old self is like, oh my goodness, it's Optimus. This is so exciting. Oh, it was the best. Now, this movie was the first break for this guy called Shia LaBeouf. Do you guys all know who Shia LaBeouf is? If you don't, you might know him from that video that went around a few months ago where he's like, do it! Do it! Make your dreams come true! It was a really good video. If you haven't seen it, you should watch it because it gets you excited. But this is Shia LaBeouf, and this is his first big break, right? And so he's gone on and he's done a whole lot of other acting bits and pieces, and then he decided to direct a film. And so he's directed it and he's decided to show it at one of the film festivals like the Toronto Film Festival or the Cannes Film Festival, and he's showing it there. And then this stuff starts coming out about him. Stuff saying that he's plagiarized the entire film that he's directed. He's taking it from someone's book. And this is obviously a pretty big thing. You know, this is his directorial debut. And that's pretty bad if he's actually gone and plagiarized something. And so people just start lashing into him on the socials. People are tweeting him saying stuff like, "I want to pull your fingernails out with a pair of pliers. I want to break your arm with a hammer." Like, people on the internet are mean, but people are just laying into him. And so the next film that he's starring in comes up and he rocks up wearing a paper bag on his head. And it says, "I'm not famous anymore." It's a pretty astounding image. And so people are still wondering, you know, what is the deal? What is going on? And so if you can imagine, you're walking down in New York City. You're just walking down the street and you walk past this shop over and over again. It's always empty. There's nothing happening. And then one day you walk past and there's frosted glass in the window and on it is written Shia LaBeouf, Monday to Thursday, 9 to 5. It starts to get you a little bit curious. You're thinking, what could this be? What is going on? You can't see into it. And there's a security guard standing out the front. And you're like, this is a little bit odd. And so people start lining up, waiting to see what's in there. And oddly enough, the security guard lets you in one at a time. And so you enter. You walk into this room and it's pitch black, completely dark, with a spotlight on a table and a person standing next to it. And so you walk over to this table and you're looking at it and you're like, what is this stuff on there? There's Optimus Prime toy. There's an Indiana Jones whip. There's little bits and pieces from all of his movies. There's a bottle of Nice Man Fume. Little bits and pieces like that. Some Hershey's Kisses, some chocolate and whatnot. And then there's a bowl with all the mean tweets that anyone has ever written about Shia LaBeouf, just sitting there in a bowl. And if you remember before about what those people said, on this table is also a pair of pliers and a hammer. And so you quickly come to the realization as this person tells you that you get to pick one thing and take it in to the next room. One thing. So it's interesting to think what you guys would pick. And so you pick up one of the items on the table and you move into the next room. It's this curtain, the lady draws it past for you and you walk in. And then as you sit down, the curtain gets closed behind you and all that's in there is a man sitting on a chair with a spotlight on him with a bag on his head that says, "I'm not famous anymore." Weird. Weird, weird, weird. And so you're sitting in there in this awkward silence. He's not saying anything. You're not even sure if it's Shia. And you quickly come to the realization that you can do whatever you want in this situation. No one's there. There's no cameras there. And the idea is you can do whatever you want. And so you go over and you take the bag off his head and yes, it's him. Shia, sitting there. His eyes are red raw. The bag is wet from tears that have been streaming down his face. What would you guys do in this situation? It's interesting to think, how do you react to this? What do you do in a moment like this? And it's interesting with him talking about this whole experience that happened afterwards, that people would come in and people would just sit there and hold his hand. People would talk to him. But funnily enough, no one once who walked in with the pliers, who walked in with the hammer, could bring themselves to do the things that they had said that they wanted to do. It's quite interesting having that sudden moment of him being this huge image, this big celebrity, and suddenly he's just like us, sitting there, this very human, very real, and very raw. And you see, the interesting thing about this story is that it broke down his image, right? he was suddenly no longer this celebrity. He was just a human who was there, and he made himself vulnerable. He made himself vulnerable to people who came in and would just love him, who came in and just talked to him. Because obviously something was going on. Something had hurt him really bad, and he didn't know how else to express it. I want to put forward tonight that a part of true friendship is being vulnerable with each other, being willing to open up and to share what is going on. And that's not exactly the easiest thing to do. That's not easy at all. But when you go into that space of being vulnerable, it allows people to see what's going on and to be able to speak encouragement and wisdom into your situation and develop a trust between you as you start to build that relationship and go deeper in that. And something that is kind of hard about this is that often it's really hard to do. You feel like people aren't going to do it back. But something I want to suggest is that by doing it, encourages your friends to do it as well. Because you can't lead someone into a place where you haven't been yourself. It's something which we need to move into. But a part of that is not just you being making yourself vulnerable, but also being willing to look past the image that people have, this certain image that people have put up around themselves, and to see what is actually going on. Almost without them making themselves vulnerable, but you just looking into it. And then by showing that encouragement, that wisdom, and developing that trust, helps them to become vulnerable with you and to be able to share that. And I think that's something that's really important in true friendships, that ability to just speak life to each other and to be able to speak into each other's lives like that. Now. Are you guys still with me? You all good? Coming along? Cool. Good. We're going to take you on a journey now. We're going to go to Israel. I wish we actually could go to Israel. It would be really cool to go and to check it out. But just imagine that this is happening. We're talking like a few BC. And we're in this situation and I'm up the front and I'm talking to you all. And you're all listening very wonderfully. Now imagine that if I had a disease, I wouldn't be allowed to come and talk to you. In fact, I wouldn't be allowed anywhere near you. And you guys, to be frank, wouldn't want me anywhere near you at all. You'd be like, Chris, get out of here. Go sit outside the wall. And that's what would happen. And you see, the interesting thing about people with diseases back in that day is people would have these little misconceptions about them. There were two things that were going around. They were like, first off, their parents mucked up. Their parents did something wrong. Their parents sinned, and that is why this kid is born with a disease, with a disability. That was one of them. The other one, slightly more crazy, is that as a fetus in the womb, they mucked up. You guys laugh, but that is what people thought. They were like, as a fetus, they mucked up. And that is why they're born with this disease. And so people of the day would have this kind of allure around them, but not in a good way, this kind of image around them that people would think about them like that. So Jesus and his mates are walking into town. They're coming along the dusty streets of Israel and Jerusalem, and they're walking in, and they see this blind guy sitting on the side of the road, right? And one of Jesus' friends runs up to him. He's like, yo, Jesus. He said, yo, Jesus. Check out this guy. He's blind. What's the deal? Did his parents muck up? Was it as a fetus he mucked up? What happened? Right? And Jesus walks over and he's like, look, it's not his parents' fault. It's not, he didn't do anything in the womb to make him like this. But let's push past that, and I'm going to show you how we can use this situation, and God's going to use it for good. And then, I mean, you guys might know this story, but then Jesus did something really, really weird. He starts hawking up this spit lurgy, right? Does anyone know what a spit lurgy is? Does anyone want to make the sound of a spit lurgy? Who wants to do it into the mic? Do you want to do it into the mic? Paul? Are you sure, Paul? Does anyone want to do it into the mic? Just because. Come on. Come on, Ethan. What are you going to do? Yeah, so Jesus is in the street making this sound, right? And then he's just getting it right in his mouth, getting the right phlegmy texture with liquid, and he's all ready, right? And then what he does is he squats down in the dirt, and he spits it into the dirt and starts massaging it into the sand, right? So he's massaging it, he's mixing it around. It's like a mud pie, like a spit mud pie. Has anyone made a spit mud pie before? No. Sam Bates has made a spit mud pie before. So he's making this mud pie, right? Bring it back. I know it's a bit gross, but he's making this mud pie. And all the disciples are kind of standing there. They're like, what is he doing? And so when he's just got the right texture, the right mixture of phlegm and dirt, he picks it up in his hand. He stands up and it's dripping through his fingers, right? This gross mixture. And he walks up to the blind guy and smacks it in his face. And the blind guy is standing there and he's like, man, I did not see that coming. Thank you very much. Right? And the disciples are like, man, we're going to get so busted for this. This is crazy. And all Jesus is doing is standing there massaging into this blind guy's face, this beautiful mud therapy. And then he stops and he's like, I want you to go and find this special lake. I want you to go and I want you to wash it off. And when you wash it off, you'll be able to see. And so the blind guy's like, my life sucks. People think all this stuff about me and my life sucks. And now I have mud on my face as well. So I'm going to have to wash it off anyway. So he goes and finds this lake. And as he starts washing it off and starts breaking away the mud, he starts to see glimpses of light. Starts to see the green of the trees and the blue of the sky. And suddenly he can see. I think that's awesome. But this whole story started, right, with Jesus seeing this guy and looking past everything that society thought about him and wanting to speak into that and use it for God's good. And so how much, if Jesus can walk up to this stranger, I mean, he is Jesus and he knows what's going on, but he walks up to this stranger and he looks past his image. How much more can we do that for our friends? This is a stranger, and yet these are the people that we know which we can do this for. We have the chance to speak into people's lives like that. And you see, Jesus takes a situation and he uses it for God's glory. And that's something that I want to stress with this, is that by being vulnerable with each other, coming into these relationships and looking deeper past the image allows us to be in our friendships and use them for God's glory, to use situations that are going on for God's glory, and to just show and love them, to have joy. And the thing is, this might sound like, oh, Chris, that's only for bad times when we're being vulnerable and we're, you know, showing God's love to them. But this is for the good times as well. God has made friendships and they are filled to be so much full of joy and love. And there's no reason that looking into someone and being like, I'm going to use this for God's glory isn't fun. It's definitely a fun ride. And so some of you guys are probably thinking, Chris, you know, it's all well and good to say that, but I've tried being vulnerable with people. I've tried doing this and it is so hard. I put myself out there, I spill my guts and they're like, what's for dinner? Or something like that. And they just brush you off and I feel like crap. I feel worthless. I hate it. And I agree, it's tough. I've done it before. I've put myself out there. I've been vulnerable with people and they have just been like, nah, don't want anything to do with it. Or you're thinking, I've got this really good image, but I'm really afraid of what people might think. if they see past this image that I have, this image that I've built up for myself, I'm really scared of what people might think. And that makes me feel worthless. That makes me feel like people aren't going to be able to look into my character and be able to love me. Well, something I want to say is that your worth does not come from your friends. Putting yourself out there and being vulnerable, getting knocked back and not wanting to do it again doesn't define your worth. Your worth is found as a child of God. The King of Heaven loves you. And your worth is found in that. Not in anything else, but found in that. And yet, while God is just pouring out his love and your worth is only found in him, he's also designed friendships to display this love that he has for you. Obviously, it's a little bit easier in a way. You can feel the love of your friends. It's right there. It's tangible. And sometimes it's hard to feel that from God in situations. And so God has these friendships. He is desiring true friendship for each of you. He is wanting that for every single one of you. And because you guys might be thinking, well, I put myself out there and I don't think I have that many friends who are willing to listen to me be vulnerable, to hear what I have to say and to be vulnerable back. See, the thing is about that, God's not saying you don't be friends with them. You still be friends with them, but there are those people in your life who are going to be the true friendships, the way that God has had it planned out, who are willing to go deeper with you, to invest in you, and to find that, and to have these friendships which God has planned out. That's what he wants for you. He wants you to find these friendships where trust and vulnerability can happen while you speak wisdom and encouragement to each other and can bring through God's glory through that. So God wants us to have true friendships, friendships that give life and display the love he has for us. If we're serious about our friendships and knowing that we as friends have the biggest influence in another person's life as we are their friend, we have this obligation and responsibility to at least give this a shot, to at least look deeper than image, to be vulnerable and to try this. Because you could be stepping into the very friendship that God has had planned for you. The very depth of a friendship that is going to show God's love. That's what he wants. He wants you in life-giving relationships so we can speak words of wisdom and encouragement and develop a true friendship that would reflect the love of God. All right, let's pray.